This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
Who can create jobs that can make our dreams come true? Who will lead the way to overcome the global economic crisis? Who will wipe away these tears? There is a way to solve all these problems. Korea and G20 nations will find the solutions.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where riots aren't always a good thing. I am your host, The Stimulator, and last week in Belgrade, homophobic pieces of shit attempted to attack a gay pride march when they clashed with police. Serbia has a spotty history of prejudice, and their leader's backwards behavior conducted a campaign of ethnic cleansing back in the Balkan Wars. Regardless, the crowd of queers march bravely through the city while the boneheads and the pigs battle each other. As the right continues to gain strength in Europe, a new anti-squatting law could dampen the many peeps who occupy abandoned buildings, fix them up, and make in their home.
Look, if there's 90,000 people waiting for social housing and there's a house standing empty in the city for years and years, of course that's an invitation.
The motherfucking resistance stood their ground and invaded the streets of Amsterdam to stand beside the squatters who were being attacked by the ever-increasing fascist swine. In Belgium, a no-borders camp was under siege and the pigs attacked and arrested hundreds of people, many of them preemptively. These arrests are reminiscing of the tactics Canadian Po-Niners took during the G20, and people who had nothing to do with the protests were arrested and brutalized. Marianne Mackelberg was one of those caught in the wave of police violence. Having just arrived in Brussels 2 hours earlier, she witnessed the police riot and started taking photos. She was arrested, violently dragged by her hair, chained to a radiator, hit, kicked, spat upon, called a whore, and threatened with rape by the pigs. People in North America should learn a thing or two from the French, but when pushed around by their rulers, well, they just quit fucking working.
Intermittently and without warning, I will attack you whenever and wherever it is least expected.
Over 300,000 peeps, including many students, march in opposition to pension cuts proposed by that turd-munching pervert Nicolas Sarkozy.
We are showing that we've had enough and that we want the government to withdraw this pension reform. Young people today have to fight for their future, and this reform is not what we want.
Meanwhile, the country has experienced fuel shortages because the unions have slowed down production in the refineries. Also, thousands of flights have been cancelled, and workers threaten the powers that be with more strikes. The motherfucking resistance continues to feel the squeeze from the state in North America. Anti-G20 organizer Alex Hundert, who I interviewed on this fucking show last month, was arrested because he allegedly violated his bail conditions, which stated that he could not protest. Alex spoke at a panel discussion, and the pigs interpreted that to be a form of political demonstration, abducted him, and attempted to impose stricter conditions on his bail.
And they're not only cracking down on organizers, but they're cracking down on anyone who opposes the system in any way.
In the US, the state continues its Orwellian process of criminalizing the motherfucking resistance. In a report released in September by the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, it asked whether
the FBI has expanded the definition of domestic terrorism to people who engage in mainstream political activity, including nonviolent protest and civil disobedience.
The reason they asked is because the feds have been actively spying on groups with no violent history. Their excuse is that
these groups organize actions as special events, which by virtue of its profile and or status, represents an attractive target for terrorist attack.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Finally, in some good fucking news, 3 out of the 7 defendants known as the RNC 8 have had their charges dropped. Louis Gillen Givens, Monica Bicking, and Aaron Trimmer no longer face the specter of jail, but will continue to support their 4 remaining comrades, who will stand trial at the end of this month. Eric Oslin, the last of the 8th, decided to take a non-cooperating plea agreement back in August, but he still has the support of his peeps. A lot of fucking people around the world lump Americans in the same baskets. If the US military bombs a village in Afghanistan, they'll yell,
"The Americans did it."
Well, I'm a fucking American and have never bombed a village, or even fired a motherfucking gun. The same generalization happens to Jewish folks. Just because peeps are Jewish doesn't mean that they automatically support the murderous actions of the Israeli state. Check out Atlanta Jews and People of Conscience, who disrupted a meeting of the Jewish National Fund, an organization that works with the state of Israel to actively displace Palestinians. Taking it a step further, anarchists against the wall are a bunch of Israeli troublemakers who engage in direct actions in support of the Palestinian people. These courageous peeps regularly take down fences and confront fully armed soldiers, all to help put an end to the brutal treatment the Israeli state doles out to residents of Gaza and the West Bank. To find out more about anarchist resistance in the occupied territories, I spoke with Joseph Dana and Sahar Vardi of Anarchists Against the Wall. Hey y'all, how the fuck are you?
Doing great.
So, anarchists in Israel, what the fuck?
Historically, anarchism in Israel has got a really interesting past, and it's been a real undercurrent in Israeli politics since the beginning, since before the state. And it happened in basically, it's been happening in three phases. The first phase was in the 1904 to mid-1920s, and it was mostly connected to the kibbutz movement, making kind of socialist collective housing areas, working the land together based on anti-capitalist, anti-exploitative ideas, binational state, binational existence, cohabitation with between Israelis and Palestinians. And then this kind of went away when all of the Jewish institutions in Palestine became centralized. And anarchism came back in the 1950s when a lot of Yiddish-speaking anarchists from Western Europe, Eastern Europe, immigrated to Israel and reconstituted cultural and literary circles around anarchist ideas. It wasn't in the idea of demonstrations and public displays of anarchism. It was more an intellectual pursuit, discussion, writing newspapers, writing books, articles, things like that, and also to keep the Yiddish language alive. In the late 80s, as a result of an outgrowth of the punk movement, anarchism came back in a very real way in Israel in terms of demonstrations. A lot of zines were being published, and then a lot of demonstrations started to happen. So the first major demonstration in this wave was when McDonald's wanted to open a branch in Israel. There was big demonstrations coming from the anarchist movement.
Talk about this fucking wall. Why are you against it?
It's just another part of the occupation. It's not that the wall is the worst thing that ever happened or is a, you know, target by itself. But mainly it's another tool of occupation, another tool to take lands from Palestinians, as in the past the government has always done, but now they have another tool to do it, another tool to divide Palestinians from each other, from hospitals, from medical centers, and also the concept of it. I mean, the concept, even in its wording, the separation barrier, which is the Israeli politically correct term for it.
What kind of work do you do to support people in Palestine?
There's direct actions of very different kinds, anything from dismantling roadblocks or blocking settler roads or agricultural work with Palestinians in places they can't get to because of settlers or because of the army. So that would be one half. And the other half would be protests, again, in solidarity. And I agree with Joseph that it's also kind of a direct action just to go and be with Palestinians. So even the protests are in a sense, direct action.
It starts with friendship. Our society in Israel says you are not allowed to be friends with Palestinians. They are your enemies, they're not your friends, and you can't trust them. And we say, no, that's bullshit. That's not what it's about.
Anarchists Against the Wall facing some serious fucking legal battles. What are the pigs trying to pin on you?
They've tried anything from very normal, like illegal gathering, arresting people for that, or for obstructing the work of a police officer, to the more advanced things that it's kind of an unwritten rule that any time someone is beaten up by the police or soldiers or whoever in a demonstration, he'll automatically be accused of assaulting whoever beat him up.
And there's also intimidation. A lot of the bigger activists that are doing this, you know, phones are tapped. We're invited to psychological interviews with internal security services and things like this. And the message is clear, is that this country doesn't want us to develop bonds and friendships with Palestinians. Punkt. End of story. Doesn't matter about the political activity. To cross into that zone and to go to Ramallah. I was in Ramallah this morning and it took me, I don't know, an hour and a half to go all around the checkpoints because the society sets it up that it's illegal for an Israeli to be in Ramallah. Why? I don't know. They don't want us to have coffee. They don't want us to see how we live together. And so everything that they can do as a Western country to intimidate us, spying on us, they've come to this apartment before and knocked on the door and said, who's here? All of these types of measures they do.
Word is that y'all are going to be touring North America. Give us the lowdown on the motherfucking tour.
The Anarchists Against the Wall have decided that we need to go on tour in the United States for two reasons. The first reason and the most important reason is that we need to talk about what we do here. You know, there's a lot of international media coverage about what's happening between Israel and Palestine, and there's not enough coverage about what's happening on the grassroots level between activists and activists, between friends on both sides that refuse these boundaries that we're talking about and these barriers. And so we want to go and we want to take it to as many places as we can in the United States to show videos, to show photographs, and to simply talk and convey our experience, what it's like to do this, what it's like to feel this atmosphere. The second reason is because the Israeli government is so happy with what we're doing, they try and imprison us as much as possible. And so we're facing massive legal costs. And so we need support to combat the legal costs. We want to engage in direct action as much as possible, every day, twice a day, three times a day, everywhere we can. And the more we do that, the more the legal fees go up because we're imprisoned. And so it's a call for help, basically, to hear our stories. And if you believe in this version of coexistence, of this version of creating impossible friendships and breaking down physical and psychological barriers, then you have a role in this conflict as well.
Thanks, y'all. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World, as we know it, if you'll find. Currency transfers to my pockets by wage slaves in these hard economic times are truly appreciated and keep my motor mouth purring. So thank you, James, Rhea, Benjamin, Thomas, James, Stephen, Nathan, Courtney, Sierra, Casey, Paul, Garcon, Gary, Aiden, Ravi, Renee, Daniel, Michael, Jay, Will, Samantha, Jose, and Scott, Rukaya. I also want to let you motherfuckers know that some media is raising funds so we can get our asses down to Cancun for the COP16's rebellion this November. So if you enjoyed our coverage of the G20 clusterfuck, consider throwing us a bone or two. To come in on this show, or for links to Anarchists Against the Wall, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Molotov? Muscle talk.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.